All right, I think we're good to go. It's gonna walk around holding the banana the whole time. All right, so how's everyone doing? Good? Yeah? Last session. This is good. Good amount of people here. I wasn't sure after the desserts came. So, all right, so let's get going. All right, using Xamarin Forms Shell to easily create a consistent, dynamic, customized, and feature-filled UI. Fun, fun, fun. So I'm Shay Neuville, Xamarin Forms Senior Engineer with Microsoft, working on a lot of shell bits. So this is gonna be kind of a coding session of just kicking through. It's kind of just a fun one I put together almost for myself just to see kind of what fun things we could do with the shell architecture. A lot of it too is gonna be how the MVVM frameworks are gonna hook together, which is gonna be cool. Fresh MVVM did a sample with it as well, which is neat, that I'll show, where they've kind of hooked into a lot of these things. So as a beginning point, let's kind of see where shell, some of the birth of shell came from here. So here's our existing page choices within Forms. So let's say you're a new developer, you're coming into Forms, and you're like, all right, what do I do? How do I create a Forms app? So I have, first you have to kind of understand these, what pages you have to use, right? So you have master details page, probably one of the most used ones because that just works as like a top level. Navigation page, which mainly is there just to annoy people. And then the tab page, which I don't know, it has tabs and it's a page. So that's kind of our page story, right? So, all right, putting it together. So you're going together and you're like, let's put it together. Let's do a master details page, all right? First off, well, for me, I always confuse which one's the master and which one's the detail. It took me a little bit, but I maybe got there. I don't. There's probably some historical verbiage or regular or something that I'm just missing on that one. But all right, so create a new page for the master, which is the sidebar. All right, I had to remind myself real quick. So you create that page there. Create a new page for the details because you're like, okay, this is the content that I want to show. And then you're like, all right, yeah, cool, I got my stuff, I have a second page. I wanna navigate to a second page, that'll be super exciting, right? So you're like, all right, there's this thing on a page called navigation, push async. And you're like, cool, all right, that's gonna push my details page, right? Is it? Who thinks it's gonna navigate to details page, anyone? Dave is shaking his head no, he knows what he's gonna see. Oh, look at that. I learned animations just for this talk, all right. This is the exception you get. And then at this point, you're like, well, what the heck is a navigation page? So now you go back to the docs. You Google, usually Google this exception, hit a whole bunch of things that kind of indicate, what do you have to do? Oh, okay, your page that's in a page needs another page so that you can get anywhere, right? So now we have four, I might have counted wrong. We have 4 to 5 separately created pages, and we're still really nowhere with an application, right? So, and you have this drawer menu. So that's your master page. You have this master page on the left, which is just this totally disparate, separate thing. And you have this page over here too. And it's like, okay, well, how do I connect these things? And it's really even funny too. Like if you look at the docs for master details page, it's crazy. I don't know how anyone would translate that to something useful. So, because you have to be in the master page. It's interesting on there, because they're at the MDP, and they like subscribe to the master page from the master, and then go route it through to the details page to navigate the details. So you have this like, you know, weird connection going on. Plus, you're not really anywhere, you just have these pages. So it's a lot of effort. It's confusing how you kind of put these things together. So in picture form, you kind of look like this, right? So this was kind of one of the big motivations behind creating Shell. We wanted to create a cohesive experience where you could get rid of all of the, you could get rid of like the headache of having to put those things together. Navigation would just work from everywhere. Your flyout, your menu would work from everywhere. You'd be much more able to customize. You'd be able to sort of break out of this box of these separate parts that we've sort of stuck you in. So that's really where the whole shell thing went, which shell. Great movie if anybody hasn't seen it. All right.
Is it like super shell?
Is it? Oh, Super Hell. No. Show. So yeah, the Simpsons version was the best take on it, but you know, Marlon Brando's was pretty good too. All right, so we have Shell. David's gone over a lot of these things as well, but we have it. It's a declarative application structure. So effectively, a user can just go into your Shell application, it's one XAML file, and they can see the articulation of the application. They can see the tabs that they're gonna have, you can see the flyout pages you're gonna have, you can see where those are gonna lead to, you have everything that you need to put that together, right? Simplified navigation. Navigation is just built in. It's a first class citizen of the application. So you have these member, first of all, it works with the old navigation APIs, so you can grab navigation and just push a page and it'll push a page, it works with those. It also works with the shell being able to go around to the different parts. It uses simple pathing to indicate what path you want to go to, which is what a lot of frameworks are kind of moving around as well. So it's easy, you can just say, hey, I want to go to this place that I've called this thing, and that's where I'm gonna end up. It's nice. It's a very cohesive development experience, right? You have in that page, you know how the left part's gonna work with the middle part, it's good to go. Plus, it's just everything is just in that one place, right? So with Shell, the goal that we're moving towards is that you don't really need a master details page, you don't need a tab page, you don't need, there's probably another one I'm forgetting, but yeah, you don't need the other pages. You just essentially have Shell and you have your content. And then, because when you're doing on any page, you wanna be able to easily tell it what you wanna do, right? You wanna go to a content page and say, okay, this page I want a navigation bar. You don't want that to be wrapped in navigation. This page I wanna have tabs. And then that just shows based on the content description. The declarative content indicates what your page is gonna do. It's easy. So, you know, navigate from anywhere to anywhere. You can, this is kind of what I was talking about. You can customize your tabs, your navigation bar, just based on page properties, so that each page can kind of dictate how it wants to display and the effect that it has. So if you're moving to like a details page where you want the tabs gone, you just have the tabs gone. It's nice and easy. You can customize the drawer layout. You get a lot of, all of the features of the shell are templatable, so you can create a template for all the items, you can create a template for the top. It's really easy to just get to where you want to get to, rapidly get to an application starting point. So yeah, that is where we're going with Shell. So here's kind of a quick, just where you see the declarative XAML. So this is cool here, because this is basically you have a master details page, your master details page with the flyout items. You have the content, so you have your master, which is your flyout, and you have your details, which is your shell content. Now this whole thing here is a master details page, a tab page, all rolled up into one nice happy box. So this is taken from the templates, the shell template, if you kind of want to see what how that kind of rolls together, which is how the template I'm also basing my demo on. So that's what we're gonna move into now. So this is gonna be, this is kind of just a, let's see what we can do with Shell talk. So a lot of this stuff is stuff, these are very alpha bits that we're then breaking out into the features that you're gonna be seeing coming through. And then Fresh MVVM actually took a lot of this stuff and mapped their framework over to it and got going pretty quickly with it, so it's neat. So you'll kind of see how you can really easily articulate how you want the application to work, how the navigation to work, control things like literally everything. So that's the big thing, is we're trying to make sure you can take the declarative aspect of it and essentially replace that whole insides of it. So we're gonna do a demo here, code demo with customizing shell. All right, so this is gonna be a coding demo that we're gonna move through, and we can see, so let's see, is this this is the app, okay, cool. So this is our basic app. Can everyone see nothing? Cool, perfect. Do I have it on the wrong, might have it on the wrong mode. There we go. You have to end the slideshow first. Let's make that a little bigger for everybody. That is a very unfortunate cut of the region text. Yeah? Okay, there we go. Let's fix that up. We can fix that in editing. All right, so what we've done, so let me just show you sort of the basic app that is blank, maybe because of the display switched. So this is what I've done here is I've taken the template app. So the template app is your basic to-do app, right? It has an items page. You click on the items show up. Very exciting. So what I've done here, I've wanted to sort of display, show how easy it is to kind of hack into the features that you want. So here's the app. Everyone's maybe seen this. I don't really know. Basically, go to somewhere, go back from somewhere, right? All right, so now let's break this up. So we've created this thing, which is a shell navigation service that you can a lot of this stuff is gonna be available in XAML as well through segs that we wanna be able to easily expose, but this is sort of the guts. So this is if you really wanna get into kind of the guts of playing with it. So what we've done is created this shell navigation service. Now, what this is how everything works. When you send it a URI, like string or a path, it goes through this service. When it parses that out, it goes through the service. When it applies all of the parameters to the page it's going through, it goes through the service. So you can influence it at every aspect of what it's doing. So that's very much what this demo is doing. So one thing I want, let me show you. So what this demo is set up with is, I've set it up so you can do effectively view model navigation. So what I've done here is what you can see here is I've taken the routes on these and I've renamed all the routes to the view model names, right? So now when I'm doing navigation, I can just give it the name of a view model and I can give it the name of the actual view model. And there's different ways you can kind of wire this together however you need to, but you give it a name of a view model, and then what I've done, if we go into the navigation service, you can see where I have implemented this feature here where basically I grab the route, so these are the arguments that are coming into it. So this is grabbing the route name, and then I'm instantiating the view model here, and then setting it on the binding context. So if you look at like the fresh MVVM example, which I should have up, he does a very similar thing here too. See, he checks if the binding context is null, and now he's tapping into the resolver that's part of fresh MVVM so that he can do the dependency injection and stuff. If you're into dependency injection, which I think some of you are. So, if you ever talk to Dan, then you're probably into it, so. But yeah, so fresh MVVM just kind of plugged into it. It's a nice, easy way to do what you need. So, and the cool thing about it too is this is a way to describe the entire way your content is created. So you'll see in a sec I have an example where I'm hiding a section based on your roles, you'll see the top secret page where it's not even going through our system. So if you look at the top secret page, I don't even have a content template specified because what I've done is I've checked to see if that's what they're creating and then just returned my own content page. So as a library designer, you could even just make it so whoever's implementing shell isn't even using the content templates, that the entire thing is being routed through your framework. So this is the whole aspect of creation here. That sounded so grand, the whole aspect of creation. This is the alpha and the omega of the page. No, it's the alpha, I guess. The omega's down here somewhere. So this is kind of the starting point of what I'm wanting to show where I'm essentially wanting to show. So let's kind of move through the demo and see the different things that you can do. So one thing I wanted to do here, since this is something that's been coming up, is visible is coming for anyone who hasn't seen it. So this is the ability to just kind of hide and show your shell items. So I wanted to show a quick example with a login page. So the idea here is that a tab bar has your flyout disabled. So this is the scenario where this is a scenario where you want the user to not really reach the rest of your application, right? So in this case here, we start up with a login page. If you put enough, I thought we put enough poker chips in there so it would start up faster, but maybe not. All right. So if we do it, there we go. So we have the login page, which is showing the hideout because did I not disable it? Oh. A lot of this is alpha code, so maybe the, is it, why did that show? All right, if that showed, let's just imagine it didn't show.
Aren't you hot
reloading? Oh. I didn't know we were showing it for this, so I didn't set it up on here. So, all right, so the, all right. Of course, like the one thing I wanted to make sure to show with the login page, but if this is disabled, let's just imagine it's disabled. There might have been something I broke on the other one. So let's, okay, let's just move through it. No, but it's not, I don't know why it's showing. Oh, it might be showing because of some other code I have. Let's ignore it, but it doesn't work. Okay, so we'll say that's a 1/4 failure of demo so far. All right. So this is your login page. So you have this login page, you can't get anywhere because you've disabled the flyout behavior on there. And then you can click login, it logs you into the application, you click on it, and now you're able to access it, right? So you can customize that page and kind of do what you want. So now I'm like hyper aware that it's not using hot reload. Like every time I close it, I'm gonna be like, ugh, all right. It's one of those things where you have your demo ready, and then they're like, oh, we're showing hot reload. And you're like, I don't know. I don't want to install these new bits. But yeah. All right, so now we're starting it up. So this is now showing the idea of, say, an admin section. So let's say down here I've created the top secret section, which is based on if the user is an admin, right? So this is a way to kind of show different areas. And I'll show you this working real quick with the checkbox. Who's excited about the checkbox? Yeah, let's hear it for checkbox. The super funny thing about checkbox is there was so much discussion about it and there were so many things about it. And like the second we implemented it, man, I use that thing all the time. Especially in the UI tests and things like that. Like, yeah, I use it everywhere. I'm like, this thing's great. So thanks for James for motivating us to get that done. But yeah, okay, is admin. Click on that. Ooh, top secrets. So now if you go here, you'll see there's another section here, top secret, which you can get to. You click log out, it takes you back here. You know, and then you click log in. I actually haven't tested unclicking and unclicking. Oh my God, it worked, cool. So yeah, there you have it, kind of going through that. So that's kind of, so the is visible is something that's coming. That's one of the kind of the newer features that we're pushing through. And one thing I wanted to kind of highlight about this, where this is kind of articulating that cool, where everything comes together aspect. So if you look at the top secret page, this is one of those things where you'll either, there's gonna be a mix of cringe and excitement about this one, but at the top level, we have the shell view model. So the shell view model is being assigned to the app shell here, all right? So that's being assigned to the binding context at the shell level. So then what happens is that shell view model is gonna trickle through your entire hierarchy until it reaches something somewhere else that's using its own binding context. So for the top secret page, since I'm not setting the binding context here, I'm just returning the page, the top secret page, which is over here, which is not useful yet. Oh. All right, code behind with nothing in it. All right, here we go, is the logout command. That logout command on that content page is actually binding through to the shell view model command that's right here. So the content page is binding up to your app level view model. So the cool thing here, I mean, because that's the neat thing about MVVM, right? You basically describe your entire application in your view models, and once you have that all that connected, you just do everything there. So when the user logs in to the login view model, you just, here, I'm just accessing the shell view model in a very poor fashion, but it's still doing it.
it sets the isAdmin flag, which is bound to the shell item in your app shell here, which is hiding that visibility. So now at your shell view model layer, you can indicate all the roles and the aspects of everything and bind that through to all your shell items, or even kind of, you know, how you want your shell content to show. So you could even bind anything on there. So if you want to change the way the flyouts are showing or anything like that, like you can do all of that with these sort of top level view models. So there you have like that, what I'm talking about as far as like the cohesive nature of shell. You know, you have everything kind of put together. Let's see, so I think that was most of the stuff I wanted to show. Nobody read my text notes. All right, cool. Yeah, that's what I wanted to kind of show with the admin sections, because that was a big thing people are asking for, is being able to hide those flyouts based on your context. So now let's, all right, so I'm going to hide the login page really quick, mainly just because you guys don't want to see me click login every time, which I wouldn't have to if I had hot reload, but whatever. So let's move through the custom navigation service. So what I've done here on the custom navigation service is I've implemented a few additional features. So that you don't have to keep watching me compile and recompile, one thing I've done here, where is the parse? Parse. Is it hidden? So one other thing I've done here, okay, cool. So one thing you can't do with shell currently, which we'll probably implement pretty soon, is through the URI navigation, you can't go back a page, right? There's no way to give it anything to tell it, hey, I want to go back a page. So what you can do, but the thing is that you can implement your own URI scheme on here. You can implement your own URI scheme and tell it to do whatever you want. Is the items page, this thing is such a mix of, there we go. All right, yeah, so here you'll see I'm doing this dot, 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 right? So this is something that's not even built into shell. So this is the area where things like Prism and MBVM Cross, it'll be interesting to see where they innovate on these. So Prism can effectively take its URI scheme modeling and key into my text notes, key into control, not shift, all right, can key into the parse async to parse that URI however they want and articulate how the what the new state of the shell is going to be, which is also a big aspect that's going to help with the hot reload things, because shell is, it's the whole idea is that this is the new model I want shell to look like. It submits that into the shell concept, and then shell morphs itself to match that. So what I've done here with the back button is that I have, you'll see here, I've basically taken code and I've looked at it and I've said, hey, look at this. Is the URI matching? Is it dot, dot, dot? If it is dot, 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 then what we want to do is we want to go backwards in the application, right? So here you can kind of set up your own URI scheme. So this is where it's going to play into stuff with, even with things like deep linking, for example. Like let's say your deep linking URI doesn't quite match up or things like that. What you can do here is you can say, hey, you know, I want to implement my own thing. So this breaks you, if you hate the way we've set up the URI scheme and you want to do your own parsing of everything, then you can set up your parameters. So, and the cool thing about this structure here is that what it parses into is something that you can indicate. So this is your path being broken up. It has all the navigation parameters on it here. So you can add navigation parameters to it as well that get applied to the page, which is useful. So, all right, so that's so we're gonna really kind of customize the back button here. Just trying to make sure the parts, let's see, where's the navigation stack stuff? So it's nice because the back button especially is very customized. So I'm just gonna kind of comment some of these sections out so I can make sure that this all gets pulled together. That's the wrong button. Yeah, all right, so let me pull some of these parts out. So let me kind of show you what the application looks like. All right, let's leave the, yeah. We're gonna kind of show you the final result here. I was gonna walk through it, but it's running a little slow on time, so I just wanted to make sure we can see. So this is all being done inside the navigation service, right? So I just kind of wanted to show how much I can modify what we're doing here, and then I'll walk through this once the demo runs perfectly without errors. Any of my weird little sections commented out anymore? No, okay, cool. And the animation is, it's gonna blow your mind. It needs like, I should add audio to it too. It's like a Batman transition. So this is the app now kind of tapping into it here, which, oh, what's this? Oh, look at that. Isn't that pretty exciting? Yeah, and if you were watchful, you saw it went to the About page first. Why would it do that? So we have these navigation points here. Ooh, look at that. Now the back button with the dot dot works. So now here, watch this. Now if I go to this second item, you see I'm on the second item. Trust me, it says second item. Now if I close the application, and then I go back over here, and I click on it, because it's none of the naming makes any sense right now. But if I click on it, it will, look at that. This is the tombstone recovery stuff here, right? So now the application is closed, and when it comes back, it's where it left off. So this is the stuff that's really powerful with shell, because each concept, each part of your shell is represented by a URI, right? So as the user is navigating through, you know, you can reconstruct that entire hierarchy, which is really neat. So let's kind of break this down a little bit. Just kind of look through the way this works. We can look through like the life cycle. So, oh, actually one thing I also wanted to show you. So one of the things people have been talking about as well is wanting to influence the navigation stack. So by default, when you're navigating through shell and you click on the different flyout items, it doesn't maintain the back stack. Right? But what I've done here is I've customized the back button behavior so that if you go here and you click this, it goes to the About page, which replaces it with a back button, and I click the back button, and now it goes back to the other flyout item. So these are these cool sort of scenarios that you can really easily define how you want it to work, right? So let's work through this a little bit here. So here, when the page is created, for example, we have this bindable property here, back button behavior. So what I've done here, which is cool, is I've created a command for the back button behavior, and now every single page that's created, the back button gets pathed through, the execution goes through this command. So now anywhere in the application where they click that top left thing, I can look at it and then determine based on the application state, indicate what I want to do. So you'll see here what I've done is I maintain a navigation stack, and if the navigation stack has more than one item, I send this here, which is my customized URI that I've created. Otherwise, what I do is I tell the shell, hey, actually you want to present the flyout because there's nobody there, right? Which I think is cool. So you have all your back button behavior centralized in a service of how you want your application to work. So you could tell the back button to do anything. So like if you look at the Facebook app, for example, when they're clicking through the tabs, the back button always goes back to the home tab. So if you're on the home tab and you click on the second, third, fourth, and fifth tab and you click back, it goes back to the home tab. So you can use this behavior here to influence however you want your navigation to work. And that's what's really cool here in your navigating. So the navigating, so here we're looking at like the life cycles. So you're navigating, the navigating point is when it's determined, okay, the URI has submitted a successful navigation. So now a navigation is going to occur, right? So this is where the fun animation comes into play. So what I do here is during navigating, I grab the current page. So I grab the current page that's going to be displayed, and I apply a scale to animation. So that's what you're seeing when the page is coming in, right? When the page is coming in, it scales to it, which you can even see. Hold on, I remember that this was, I kind of forgot I would do this. See, look at that if you click the abouts. Isn't that fun? You're just clicking between the tabs, and it's giving you this cool animation. Because that's all passing through appearing. Dun, da, da, da. So appearing now is indicating that your page is going to appear. So this happens, and the cool thing here about the shell stuff too is appearing actually means appearing. So the appearing event is fired on shell prior to the view actually appearing on the page. So this is the place where like the MBVM frameworks will hook into changing your bindings and all of those things. Because right now, if you hook into appearing on iOS, your page will show up blank, and then your text will fade in because the event's wrong. But shell fires appearing correctly in 4.2. It didn't fire at all in 4.1, but we won't talk about that. It's cool. So this is where appearing is where I'm customizing how I want it to work. So look at this. I have this back button behavior that I've assigned to all the pages, and what I've done now is I retrieve that back button behavior that's on that page, and then I look at the navigation stack. And then based on the navigation stack, that's when you saw here, where is it? See where I'm setting what this looks like? So now inside this appearing thing, I have context of my virtualized stack, the stack that I've made up in this service, and I say, okay, what I want you to actually do is I want you to set the text to back. And then if there is no navigation stack, I want you to use the normal hamburger menu there. So it's neat, because now this is all, the whole navigation concept of your application is being described in this service. So you can really richly kind of orchestrate how you want everything to work. So, and then this is where that effect of it spinning. So each time you're clicking one of those tabs, the appearing event fires, and then this is the set of operations that happen. So this rotation here, what you're seeing is this incoming page. Animation. So isn't that neat? So that's because the forms animations are really cool. I think sometimes people forget that they're there. So the entirety of those animations that you saw, it's so little code. Like all it is this code here, which is transforming the page, and then the thing here, which is, you know, scaling it. That's it. That's it. That's everything that's doing that cross-platform animation, which is cool. So yeah, so that's that. That's how kind of the animation works. The parse we went through, so the parse is pretty basic. It's just looking at the navigation stack, which is neat. All right, so let's see. Let's look at the tombstoning here real quick. So the tombstoning is neat. That's using Xamarin Essentials, but basically what I do is I have these simple methods that I've created. So this is a very basic serializing. I take the URIs and then I just store them in the settings stack into settings as like a string. Right? So pretty basic. So let me kind of go through where I'm building the stack. Yeah, here, navigating. So all I'm really doing with navigating is I'm looking at it and saying, okay, when the URI is coming in, I look at it and I say, okay, cool. So I grab the navigation stack and then I add it to the nav stack. The main reason I'm doing the compare on top is if you're doing like a back, because you don't want the back button to go into your navigation stack. So if the last page is the current page, that means the user is popping it off the top. So that's basically what this is here. So what this is doing, you know, is creating this virtual stack. And then the virtual stack is just a list that's stored locally. So you can see the save state. It's not that exciting. It's just down here, save state. So it's just taking the navigation stack. It's creating, this is the delimiter of the navigation stack, and it's storing it. And that's really it, right? And it's storing it just, where am I? Magic strings. So it's cool. So now what's happening is when you're starting up the application, what it's doing here with your navigation stack is it's saying, okay, is the navigation stack, does the navigation stack exist? It doesn't, right? So the navigation stack is zero. So that means it's the first navigation point. And then what it does is it loads the state. So now it's deserializing that, I mean, deserializing is way too complicated a word for what it's doing. But it basically pulls the string out, splits it on that term, and then recreates what your URI stack looks like. So this is kind of what's letting you, because every application has a different way they want to do stacks, like what they want the back button to do, you know? Some people, like for example on Slack, if you're navigating between channels, it's the back button doesn't let you do anything, but a lot of people want to be able to customize that behavior. So, yeah, so this is cool. So it saves the state, and then all we do, this is where you can kind of see it pull everything together, is you parse the, you take it, you get the navigation stack, and then what I do is I call parse async. So now what I'm saying to the navigating is I'm taking that last URI, I'm parsing that URI against the system, and then saying, okay, I want you to return me the next state of the application. So then now that's the page that it's gonna go to. And now my navigation stack is restored. So now the navigation stack here is able to work through on the, you know, it's able to now work with the back button behavior that I've customized. So it's cool. So you've been able to pull together, you can very much customize all these different features of how it works. So, and yeah, so on any of these pages where it's kind of pulling in the pages, you know, with these life cycles here, this is where like on the appearing, you could set the nav bar visible, you could set like the tab pages visible, anything you really wanna do. So yeah, let's see. I think that was most of the stuff with the demo. Check notes. Yeah, tombstoning top secret, cool. So let's switch over. I've clicked on most of these pages, but I wanted to just kind of show the fresh MEVM. Let's close the Xamarin, all right, so let's see. So we don't run out, because we're at about 7 minutes left. So are there any questions? Anybody want to go up to the mic and ask a question about shell or things that it's going to support or not support? No? If not, I don't know what to do with the next 5 minutes.
The A number one first thing that I'd like to know is, what's the timetable on being able to use Prism with shell?
I don't really know the timetable, honestly. I mean, it's hard to kind of commit to timetables. But with that, what we're doing, so it's really neat because Fresh MBVM, which is the sample here, has an example here where they've tapped into it, right? So the part of that we're determining is where we can get to with what's here, what parts we can put in to allow Prism to start doing the support. So that's one of the big reasons I'm building a lot of this stuff. And there's a NuGet for this that we can pull in. So I'm working with Dan very actively and a lot of them to make sure that everything's here that they need. So yeah, a lot of that stuff is sort of built with that in mind. I have a version I want to say in my head, but I'm not going to say it. As far as what version I hope it's going to be in. But a lot of it too is just trying to put the parts in. So instead of putting in this huge PR that's going to be all these things, you know, I need to get the visibility one and, you know, some of the back button behaviors and the appearing. So we're kind of rolling that rock forward very aggressively between them. And at some point, we're going to hit that point where Prism is able to really do what they want. So the main one I think that Prism is going to need is really this create and then some of the navigation hooks. Because this is the big one right now, is that right now there's no way to
DI your pages with shell. So that'll be big. And then the seg stuff is gonna be really exciting.
So right now the recommendation for doing onboarding, at least that I've received, is that we can do, if we're doing tabs, we can use the flyout and just disable the flyout, or vice versa. Is there going to be a separate flow that'll handle like onboarding, logging in, separate flows that you wouldn't necessarily want the user to navigate to?
Yeah, so that's kind of what with the login page. So you mean with where you would have sort of like a, if they're registering, is that what you're kind of saying? Like if they're registering and moving through?
Yes, onboarding tutorials, that sort of thing.
Okay, yeah, we've had a few cases of talking to people with that. And that's, I mean, that's very much what this login page flow here is for. You know, because with this, like you could do an onboarding with this scenario. Here, I think some of the naming gets in the way. So for example, with this tab bar, like this isn't gonna have a tab bar as you saw, but you could still from this login page move through an application of onboarding. You could push a content page on for the next page, and then the next page, and then like all the modal things work. But this is that's one thing that people are really interested in. So there's an issue up that that someone created where we want to be able to more declaratively define things like onboarding. So like what you might do in an onboarding case with a login is you might do another shell content here that represents you know, registration. And then that's the next page past your login page. And then with your next registration, you might do, okay, gathering details. And then now that's sort of articulating your hierarchy that you're moving through for onboarding. So we want to be able to also describe the flows in a more in-depth fashion. Does that answer your question? Okay, if it didn't quite cover it, just let me know, and we can chat more directly about it, yeah?
Okay, so I have two questions. The first one, is it possible or easy to do custom renderer on the tab? For example, like, you know, the icon or the text, if I want to put like a badge in the tab?
Okay, yeah, so
that's, yeah.
Yeah, so you're talking about just on the, yes, the tabs on the bottom and whatnot.
Right.
That one we would like to make a little bit easier, but the tab icon, I'm trying, David, can you customize the tab icons? Okay, yeah, what's that? Yeah, we have a PR for the badges. Yeah, we have, because you asked about badges?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry, I missed that. Yeah, we have a template where you can set, we have a PR for the badges that we're hopefully gonna get in soon where you can set those up. Right now, I would say the renderer story needs it's still evolving. You can get to everything within shell. So one thing about shell is, which is a little different about the renderer structure, is that instead of having a renderer for every aspect of it, it all gets piped through a single renderer, just called shell renderer. And then the shell, so if you wanted to customize at the platform level, it's a good question, I can kind of pipe through here. The shell renderer is the renderer for shell. So it's one renderer, instead of having to kind of go through it. So what you would do on the platform level is you would implement your own shell renderer, use the normal export attribute, and then now in here, it has different overrides, virtual methods for creating these different parts of it. So like here's the tab layout, here's the bottom nav view, so here's where you can get access to that, the status bar. So this is where it's creating all of these, and this is where you can create those things and access them. Does that answer your question?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, so this is, it's still, the tabs I would say are still, that, and which has been interesting, because with the voting, one of the highest votes that we had with Sword's startup was to have a cross-platform navigation bar. So the tabs is another one that we've been looking at, which would be cool to have more cross-platform, so that you could much more easily tap into them. But you know, these are all still, it's still all a native tab layout. It's using tab layout on Android, bottom navigation bar, and then you know, tab controls on iOS. So you can get to them at the renderer level and customize those things. But yeah, so if there's kind of a specific case you can't get to easily, definitely log an issue with shell, because we're trying, the renderer story needs a little bit of work of making it more easy to get to all the different parts. So that's one thing that makes shell a little different, because you have the shell renderer, and it's such a top level, making sure they have access to all those parts.
Okay, my next question is, if I want to do like deep linking or app linking, would it be possible to do with this shell routing navigation?
Yeah, so that's a lot of what it's, we're almost out of time here, but yeah, that's one of the big things that we're wanting to enable. So, because like when you're doing deep linking, you know, your deep linking is your, when you map your deep linking, it's basically your host and your scheme, which tells it that this application services this URL, and then the interesting part of that is the path at the end. So like if you were doing deep linking, that's where the URI comes in. So you would basically start your application when it starts from that point where it's deep linked into, and then from there you get the path they're going to, and then if you've set up your shell to match that, then you can just go to that path and it'll go directly to that page. You know, so if you're, that's what happens with like the query string navigation. So when it's navigating on the details pages, for example, the view model here, see the URI that it's building, it's just a query string. It's just a name of something here and a query string parameter. So if with the deep linking, you can just do details ID equals something based on what they're doing and then link that into the application. And then if you want, you can go crazy in your navigation service and custom build a custom stack as well. So, and then that kind of goes back to what he was talking about, which would be cool if we could describe a hierarchy here, because then we could generate the entire stack for you if we have knowledge about it. So, yeah. I think we probably need to cut it, but I'm gonna close my stuff and then, maybe? He's in charge, so he can tell me.
Yeah,
to
I have a quick question about navigation parameters, but I can take it offline.
Okay, yeah, take it after, because we need to wrap it up. So yeah, all right, well that's it. That's the last, yeah, so why don't we throw, yay, summit. Yeah.